When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by the Lousy Weather Media Basement Comedy Show 4 featuring Chris Klem, AJ Georgie, Sean Sullivan, musical guest Bob Camparta. It is June 13th at 8 p.m. in Sean and Bob's basement. Come check it out. If you can't be there, listen to it live at www.lousyweathermedia.com. Now enjoy the show.
Would you like to read a book? No, I don't.
I can't read.
Hello and welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
I'm Tony.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad. What's happened to Jean? Wait, do you have any news?
What? Let me check here.
Yeah, go ahead and check.
No current news, I don't think, this week.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything. It up, man. Yeah, I didn't really see anything that caught my eye either. Nothing's coming to mind either. So I guess we'll hop into genre 5. We're doing live action movie villains or antagonists.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound smart.
Yeah. Not villains, antagonists. Yeah.
They're all the same, eh?
We know those words.
We do. Go ahead. Hit me with your list first. Let's see how many we have in common. I feel like a lot.
No, I don't know. There's one in like every movie.
Yeah, mainly.
First on my list is Voldemort.
Okay. Yeah, I saw him on the... I went to a... Where'd you get... Was this all off the top of the dome?
Yeah.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I went on the intranet and searched, like, villains and stuff like that. And not because I couldn't think of any. I thought of a bunch, but I was like, I wonder who I'm leaving out. And Voldemort was pretty high up there.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah. Did you like him as Hades in Clash of the Titans?
Not nearly as much.
That's understandable.
Ralph Fiennes, that being said, is one of my favorite actors.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
He directed what would you call that? An interpretation of a Shakespearean play.
Okay.
To theater.
Adapted.
To a film. Yeah. But it's all the classical. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
But it's a modern.
Classical speech, but with a modern backdrop.
Modern drop. Yeah. Okay. So Coriolanus was the film he did.
Coriolanus Morissette?
Coriolanus Morissette.
Oh my God. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
It's like I'm alone on an island.
Not really. I mean, you're just annoyed on an island, if anything.
Annoyed on an island. New feature.
Annoyed on an island.
Tony says stuff, and I'll just shut him down.
Not shut him down. I just add horrible things. Go ahead.
What about things we saw this week? We're going to do those, too.
Yeah, we'll get the weekly recommendations and rejections. Don't worry. Don't you know how the show goes by now? Come on. We're almost at episode 60.
I thought we did those before.
No. We split up. Yeah, we split up. We do genre 5. Well, we do news, genre 5, weekly recommendations and rejections, test of Tony, and then the in-depth.
Holy shit.
Okay. Well, now that we're both familiar with the show.
I'm Bill the Butcher is from? The next one from Gangs of New York.
Hell yeah. He was on that list, too.
Remember that movie?
I haven't watched.
Remember it?
I haven't watched the whole thing yet.
Nah, you wouldn't.
But it's really good, the parts that I have seen. Also, they put, what is that goddamn movie? There Will Be Blood. They put him as that as well.
Yeah, Daniel Plainview.
I was like, man, that's fucking shitty that he was cast as the, I know he was the villain, but also at the same time, I mean, like, I felt like Eli was kind of a piece of shit as well.
Yeah, he was a bit of a piece of shit, but he was just naive.
Yeah, and I guess, crazy. Like, that fucking, what was his name? David Blaine? Plainview?
Plainview. David Plainview.
David Plain. He's doing magic tricks
and
shit.
Yeah, he's a magic magician. Watch me take your oil.
Yeah, I have a magic straw.
Drink it up.
And I drink your milkshake with my magic straw. But yeah, all right, go ahead. What's your next one? So far, we haven't had any... let me see.
No runover?
What was your first one?
Voldemort.
Yeah, that wasn't even on my list.
Bill the Butcher.
Good one, yeah.
Hannibal Lecter.
Hmm. That was on my ad twos, honorable mentions. There we go.
Yeah, I really like him. He's really smart and cerebral. And
yeah, definitely. You want to do your impression?
No, I don't want to.
Come on. Whip it out. Whip out that big, fat impression, Dick.
What is it? Oh, toughened your nipples, didn't it?
Oh, my God. Hannibal. Fucking, he's in the room. Some dude just flaying cum at my face.
I know that wasn't Hannibal, but
mumbling Meeks in the next stall. What did he say to you?
Nice. That was sick. Yeah, you're nailing it, dude.
Norman Stansfield from The Professional.
Okay, yeah.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, yeah, he was on that list as well.
Fucking awesome.
You sure you didn't look at this list?
I didn't look at this list. You're hitting some heavy hitters. Okay. Yeah, they're heavy hitters because they're my favorite. You know, they're iconic to me. Next on my list, well, last on my list. This one, I don't know, I think...
The Hunter from Bambi. No, I saw that. I was like, what the fuck?
I think I threw it in.
Okay. Out of all the villains of live-action movies, you're just like, I guess I'll throw this motherfucker a bone.
I think I threw it in there, and, it was a tie, and I was gonna go with... I was thinking the Joker, but then I don't know how villainous
Heath Ledger, correct?
He is. Yeah, how villainous that is.
Yeah, you hear like I saw some bullshit online that was like, the Joker's actually the hero of Dark Knight, and fucking Batman's the bad one, you know? The Joker's burning money. He's not doing anything like that.
He's just an activist.
Yeah, I'm like, no, he's just murdering. Like, he could possibly murder innocent people on that boat, and like, you know, he's like hanging people from fucking, yeah. No, that's not bad.
No, it's good. Yeah. It's just a extremist view.
Joker, Heath Ledger is on my list. I thought he was a fantastic villain, because I do believe that he is the antagonist of that film. It's not called fucking The Dark Joker, right? Like, you know, The Dark Joker. It's The Dark Knight. It's a movie about Batman. Batman's the hero you want to see him punch Joker in the face until he stops doing crime, because that's Batman's way of doing things. But I feel like that he was the antagonist of the movie, and
well,
I feel like it was such an interesting villain.
He also
villain.
Doesn't have the populace, the same view as the populace, because they chose not to blow themselves up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people chose not to be like the Joker, because that's bad.
Yeah.
Because you don't be that crazy.
Right.
But I picked Pinhead.
Nice, yeah.
I really like him because he's very happy about killing.
Such sights to show.
Yeah,
you.
He's really pumped. Like, not like I hate you. You have to die because I don't agree with you. But just I want to show you this.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, more
it's
so,
it's awesome.
I believe more so that like it's like you summoned me. You fucking got the genie out of the bottle.
Yeah, so you get to see the good stuff.
Like, you knew what was gonna happen. Like, you were like, I want.
Now
this
that
thing
I'm
can
here,
can do, like, pleasure or pain. But there were a few people that were like, "What's this fucking puzzle box?" And just started doing it. And you know, they weren't like privy to the fact that like it was going to open.
Oh,
a gateway to
show
hell.
Them hell. Well, there's a lot of like I like Event Horizon. He's like, "Where we're going, you don't need eyes." He's not like saying, "I'm going to poke your eyes out because I hate you." But if I poke your eyes out, don't worry, you don't need them.
Imagine if that's how the first Back to the Future starts. Where we're going, you don't need eyes, Marty. And he turns around, he opens up the shades.
Ice picks him.
You know, he looks up his shades, he has no eyes. And there's like, no!
He wakes up.
That'd be. And then Doc is actually with no eyes, and he's like fucking like showing him his human heart.
Then his mom crawls onto him with no eyes.
Oh, God.
Backwards,
Calvin Klein.
He's backwards like stigmata.
It was, oh, God, fuck yeah. All right, what would that be called? Back to the Horizon?
Back to hell.
Drag Me to Hell, what a terrible movie.
So those are my five. And I think I could probably do that genre 5-4 more times.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I could think of 25 of these fuckers.
We'll revisit it again, sure.
We're going to have to. It's getting a little...
Yeah, getting sparse.
I was going to say, I don't have anything to replace it or transition to, but I do want to think of another segment.
I mean, but honestly, like, I think it's cool because we can talk about movies that we've seen and, you know, talk shop a little bit like that.
No, but I mean, genre 5 is... We've done... 30 genres now.
Right, well, I mean, not really genres. We're just like,
we've gotten away from genres even, because...
Yeah, we had to. It's kind of like a top 5 now.
So I'm wondering if I could think of something that's a little more everlasting for a segment for here.
Honestly, I think that this is going to go for a while, because, I mean, we've never tapped video games. There's a ton of those and stuff like that. We can do a genre 5 of video game shooters, fucking all that type of stuff. That'd
be
fun.
We can do that?
Yeah. Then we could do, like, favorite video game adaptations, movies, like stuff like that.
Do you think the listeners will give a shit?
Probably not. Awesome. Do they give a shit now?
It's kind of funny. I don't feel like I'm on a podcast sometimes.
No, it's just that we're...
I'm kind of like, I don't know if I rationally like think this is going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Is that...
No. Because I guess for me, I'm like, I'm kind of like... It's like a spoken diary of me and my friend having a conversation.
Nope.
And that when I die, people will probably be like, I wonder what he was like.
Wow.
A dickhead.
Yeah.
And then just listen to...
Yeah, put that on repeat on his grave.
And then, that'd be sick. And just paying nonstop fucking podcasts that I've been on. Oh, hell yeah. I'm into that. All right, so I feel like mine is awesome. Better than yours.
Now, when you say that, can you not use the word mine?
What do you mean? My list?
Yeah.
What do you...
Could you call it someone else's list that I found my list on.
Oh, no. These are all the ones that I thought. Well, all right, there's one on there that I didn't think of, like, right off the
tip. Oh, so the ones you had in mind, you found out were actually awesome ones.
Yeah.
And you didn't have any that were like, oh, I forgot him.
I did have, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Alonzo Harris was the one.
Oh, okay.
Training Day. That was kind of like, because yeah. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I fucking love Training Day. And that is a sick villain. Like, I think he was really cool, because, like, you don't really understand, like, his motives at the beginning of it. Then you find out that that dude's a piece of shit, you know?
Mm-hmm, he's a dick. The whole neighborhood.
And fucking Stick from Daredevil's in that movie. He gets fucked over.
Yeah.
And speaking of Daredevil, Kingpin. And I know that's recent and shit like that, but honestly, he was in fucking Thralling. I thought that he played great. Like,
yes.
The character was, I felt very deep. Like, it was, had a lot of it had like a lot of fucking, I don't know, just, it was like an onion, layers. You know what I'm saying? Like, he kept peeling them back and finding, and he was brutal as fuck. Agent Smith.
Oh, I really dig Anderson.
Him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the fucking cold cut, like, just robot, I'm gonna murder
he
you.
He plays really awesome, solemn characters. As an elf.
Yeah, the elf.
As a robot.
The Rings, yeah.
There's something else he did that was very...
Red Skull.
Hello. Yeah.
He was Red Skull, yeah. He's good, yeah.
He's
no.
cool. Hugo Weaving, yeah.
Joker, Heath Ledger, and I felt like that I picked him because I really dug his dialogue and, like, the way that he went about mm-hmm. things. And even fucking Agent Smith, like he has some cool fucking lines in Matrix.
Yes.
And just his whole being is just like, fuck you people. Like, you're just fucking batteries. Get used to it.
Oh, fuck. What's the one line I just heard him say? I think it was from the original Matrix, and he says something along the lines like, we've been waiting for you. And he's talking about the populace of machines.
Yeah.
And then Neo says, like, you know, something to the effect of, like, I'll never join you. And he's like, you already have. Like, pretty much, like, I'm gonna get there. Like, do we have to? Why keep fighting?
Right.
He always asks him that, too, because that eludes him. He's like, why do you struggle to keep your rotting flesh body?
Yeah.
I don't. Why?
When yeah.
You're confusing me. Let's do this.
Yeah. Can we just. I'll so whoop your ass and put you in a pod. I get it. Like
I'm good at it. Trust
this
me.
This is going to like happen. Like, no matter what. Like, yeah. Why prolong?
Don't be silly.
Yeah. That is cool as fuck. And Darth Vader.
No Hope. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's I thought. A good one. And honestly, that's probably the first villain I saw in a movie that I was like, I want to be that motherfucker. Like, he is so cool.
Yeah, that is a fucking... That's an iconic villain there, Jesus.
Yeah, huge, huge.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And that was one I thought on my own, yeah.
Okay, good.
Honorable mentions, T-1000, more so because of the look and the time that it came out. That kind of strikes a chord with me. Jack Torrance from The Shining. Anton from... oh, God. No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
He's sick as fuck. Darth Maul, but... I felt like he just looks cool. He's just an aesthetic villain that I like.
Yes, he's just really cool looking.
And like the lightsaber, he's cool, but it, like
he doesn't have much. Does he say anything?
He says like one thing,
one line.
Yeah, and I think we had trivia that one night for Star Wars, and we got it wrong. It was Darth Maul's like one line that we fucked up. Bane, Tom Hardy's Bane. I felt that like that was very close for me with the Joker.
Joker, yeah.
Just because of the fact of like. I think they're the two different types of villains, written kind of the same.
Yeah.
But he has fucking sick lines. And he's very aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Like, that dude looks fucking cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Just him, like, his presence of it, like, how he held the jacket, like, the little nuances that he added to the character were incredible. Predator, Hannibal, Pinhead, and Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
And Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Yeah, he's a great villain. I mean, think about it. Like, that...
I mean, he did scare a lot of people from going... Yeah, for a long
time. I wonder if Spielberg just stays the fuck away from me. He's like, I've pissed in the face of the gods.
Speaking of, not really, but I've been quasi
fishing,
watching stuff about Megalodon.
Ah, the giant shark.
Yes.
Did you hear about the thing where they tagged a shark, mm-hmm. and then they had the tracker or whatever. It washed up on shore. No. They're like, oh, where'd this motherfucker go? Obviously, something ate it or it fell off or whatever the fuck. And they found out that, like, it for weeks and weeks, it was just at the top of the, like, around the top of the surface. And then, like, it went down a little bit, but no more than it usually does. And then, like, something happened to where it just plummeted, like, super far down to the deep of the ocean.
That's what I was going to bring up.
And then it shat it out.
Yeah.
And then, so they're like, well, what the fuck? And I think it was like 3 meter shark, so 12 feet ish.
Okay.
Like I think it was like 12 to 15 feet, or I think it was 12. And then they're saying like the thing that had to have eaten it must have been like a fucking megalodon, as you were talking about, the prehistoric fucking beast of the sea.
Yeah.
This gigantic great white shark that could fucking swallow a human whole. And what now they're thinking is that it was a pack of cannibal great whites.
Oh, that pulled it down.
And one just like picked off the fin.
Because that's the thing with shark herds is if there is a weaker one and they can't find food, they will eat their own.
Yeah. Kind of like crocodiles, leave
and
the babies
also,
and shit.
Yeah, they'll also run away if a larger predator comes into their, if they're circling like to get some fish.
Yeah,
and a big dog comes by. Yeah, big fuck, let him get it. We'll get the scraps.
Yeah, kind of like hyenas.
Don't fuck around. Yeah, don't fuck with them. But sharks. I think it's the blue shark that dives the deepest.
Okay.
That we know of, and that's around 3,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a fishing vessel, and they were doing research for the megalodon, like searching for this larger shark.
Yeah,
and so they
fucking Discovery Channel
put
it out during Shark Week.
Pretty much. But I mean, still, if you get $100,000, why not go try
Definitely,
to figure it out?
I agree.
They put like 5 miles of chum in the water in southern African coast. And they had hundreds of sharks. Like, of different species. They weren't fighting with each other because they were pretty much just like, sweet, it's a buffet.
Yeah, but see, there's 5 miles of this, guys. Yeah. We don't, you know, no
but
slim
then,
pickings.
Out of nowhere, like, their sonar went dead. Like, nothing was registering except small fish and, like, the little algae and shit in the, around them.
Fuck yes.
I'm not kidding, dude. And then, literally, they didn't get a fucking read on it because it didn't come up, but it fucking, they had a signal. But it wasn't, you couldn't see it on the sonar. It was still about 1,000 meters down.
Yeah.
But all it did was came up to like see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a, like a 50 foot blue whale, like, blow up pretty much thing, like inflatable in the water. So they wanted to mimic a dead whale bleeding out.
Right. And that's what was with all the chum and shit like that. I got you.
The little sharks didn't get in close enough to the origin because they just got there like 15 minutes ago. So they were still on the outskirts of the 5 mile.
Right.
It scared them away. It didn't come up. So they started scanning out further, like to see if there were any sharks coming back in because they just saw pretty much like a little beep down below. And they're like, fuck it. And literally, it was on Discovery Channel. And this thing literally shot the fuck up from like 3,000 feet and just. Obviously, it took a bite and realized it wasn't food, but it literally ripped their fucking like inflatable.
Now,
up.
Did they have marks of the jaws where they could see how big the mouth was?
I mean, it tore it like and took half of it down, like kind of took it with it. They said that they had a rip; it was like a rip seam.
Okay,
so it didn't. They couldn't get like. They think its mouth is like 8 feet wide, like,
yeah,
8 or 9 feet.
Well,
wide.
They have like the I've seen a. It's a museum picture of a guy standing inside of it. And
oh, we have hundreds of fossils of megalodon.
Yeah, he can't, like, touch either side of it, and he has both arms extended completely out.
Yeah.
And, like, and he's standing inside of it, and it's completely open, and he's not even as tall as it.
Yeah.
It is fucked up.
No,
like, imagine
yeah.
just, like, swimming, and this thing's just, like, gulp.
Yeah, megalodon would feed on 2,500 pounds of food a day.
Jesus.
To survive. So it ripped that thing up, and literally that was, like, 90 paces from their boat. Ripped that thing up, figured out it wasn't food, and literally fucked back off so fast that they like saw it on sonar as like a large bleep.
Yeah.
But they couldn't track it because it shot back down so fast and went past 6,000 feet.
And I think
which is twice as far as sharks dive.
Right, and that was the whole thing with the tracker was that it went down way further than it usually does, and that's why they were thinking that it was a megalodon.
Yeah. And there's current records of the megalodon, a broken megalodon tooth that a fisherman found when he was trolling
and they carbon dated it and they were like, this is from fucking 2012.
Yeah.
Wow.
They carbon dated it and they're like, it's not fossilized. It's still got the calcium like in it. It's
Whoa.
White. It's pretty much a white tooth.
I mean, the ocean's so big. There's got to be something
it's
out there
brand
like,
new.
Super fucking huge.
Oh, and they were saying, they're like, this shark would only need like, they would probably live in pod, like have
like
a little crew of like 6 or 8 of them could have been producing and eating and being, we've never seen anything in the ocean.
Not only that, I remember watching, we say that we know more about space than we do our oceans.
Yeah,
right?
Our known universe,
thing?
Yeah.
That's probably like a fucking false statement, like that we
Most
all say.
Most likely.
But I was watching some documentary, and I guess like a whole, when whales die, they sink to the bottom usually.
Yeah.
And so they could feed on it there and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I'm sure whales are dying off like a lot.
Oh, yeah. Hitting oil spills and...
Ooh, oily whale. All right. See, all from the fucking shark from Jaws. Bruce. Good old Bruce. And if you didn't know that, now you do.
That was a fun talk.
Okay, so weekly recommendations and rejections. I saw Leon the Professional. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I want to have Elaine on here sometime soon, and we will do an in-depth on it most likely. If we don't, I'll talk about it at a different time. You talked about it not too long ago anyways. I also went to the Matt Farkas DVD taping at the Empire. Jorge De La Rosa of the fucking Slow Mutants. It's just the Slow Mutants, if you're going to look that up. Not fucking the Slow Mutants.
fucking Slow Mutants.
But, yeah, it was really cool. I think that's the first DVD taping I've been to. It was really nice. They had, like, a six-camera setup, and it was really cool. Yeah, so I it was kind of like I got to be... And I sat with Jorge for a while, like, while he recorded the first bits, but when they had, like, an intermission for a second, and then we came back in and our seats were taken, so I couldn't sit back there.
Bright light?
Yeah, they had two lights on the either side of the stage. They had, I believe, two cameras on each side of the stage, one in the middle, and then two in the back, and then a GoPro facing the audience. Like, it was a fucking legit-ass setup.
Wow.
I think I only named five. Yeah, that was six.
That was six.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really cool. Cool thing to see happen.
Recommend both.
Yeah. I think Farkas' DVD is going to be great, and, yeah, definitely Leon the Professional. I think they're doing a taping June... it's a Sunday. Think of the early Sunday in June, the first Sunday in June. 7th? 6th? It's 6th, I think. At the Stone Tavern. It's at 7 o'clock. It's John Preedmore. He'll be on the main show this week.
Radical.
So, yeah, so if you guys want to go to a DVD taping, you can. And Slow Mutants does a lot of stuff. And it's cool. Go and have some drinks and watch them tape and see comics from around here, like half-hour set. What do you got?
Me? I got Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, nice. What made you want to rewatch that?
Nah, I think boredom.
Gotcha. Vacation?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean boredom, pretty much, yeah. Vacation. Half and half, I don't know. It was never one of my favorites that he did.
And then what was the one that the other one that came out with Tom Cruise right around that era? It was Inglourious Bastards and
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie, yeah. I always got those two confused a lot, but I would say Inglourious Bastards. Over Valkyrie.
Man, I don't know. Valkyrie's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I really don't care for... I mean, this is a very slow film, even for him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, half and half on that one. I watched two seasons of Black Mirror, and I'd like to thank Willis Gordon for recommending that.
How is it?
In-fucking-credible.
Yeah.
Really fucking weird. Just like he said, it's fucked up, sci-fi-y, fucking dystopian, like... glimpses of the future in different, kind of like the Animatrix, is different.
Oh god, that was so
parts
good.
Of like it really honestly is. It's a really cool show. There's two seasons on Netflix, and he told us about the first episode where the like prime minister is like, so the queen's being kidnapped, princess is being kidnapped, and he has to fuck a pig.
Yeah. I totally remember that. Yeah,
that's just one. The one after that, and there's three in each season, I'm pretty sure.
How long are they?
An hour.
Hell yeah.
And so it feels like a film almost.
Yeah.
And it plays out like a film because they're not connected in any way.
Okay.
Different actors, everything.
So you're coming back to the series, but you're like, I'm going to see something brand new
this week. But the sci-fi that these different directors and writers and actors are coming up with is fucking awesome, because all the different like views of the future, some of them are kind of catching fire, sort of dystopian. Some
are you
of
talking
them,
about Hunger Games?
Hunger Games, yeah. Some of them are...
I don't know if you meant like the cities were catching fire.
Like contacts that you can run back your memories on and check them and like show people what you did.
That's cool.
On screens kind of like everywhere. Cut. Yeah. Like showing everyone what you are. But it also records, you know, horrible.
Like Final
psychotic
Cut.
Psychotic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good fucking show.
Final Cut gets shit on a lot. And I want to say that I stand as a firm believer that it's a good movie. Not amazing or anything, but it's good.
No, I wouldn't write home about
fucking
it.
Fucking sick premise too.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what killed it. But people were like, yeah, it was a sick premise, and they fucking didn't make it sick. And I'm like, well, you know,
it happens a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my gosh, there's so many films that I was like, wow, I had to watch that.
But you see it and you're like, this is so, like, Jupiter Ascending looks fucking sick as fuck. And then you're like, God damn it.
Fucking Jupiter Ascending.
Same thing with fucking Pacific Rim. That bummed me out too. I was like, oh, they're throwing in a love story, aren't they? God damn it. Come on, Guillermo. Like, fucking, let's just rock them, sock them. Let them fight, like, in that cool places. Just show me something beating the shit out of something
just
else.
Just do it.
Hopefully with a weird, awesome sword that I've never seen before. That's what I'd like to see. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't break it out till the end and then uses it for everything.
And then not only that, I'm like, why didn't we do this at the beginning?
Yeah. Like, hacking limbs off easily.
Yeah. Yeah. What were they called again? I always do this.
The kaiju?
Kaiju, yeah. Yeah, I didn't...
You can gut a kaiju real quick with that.
Yeah, just in the stomach, through the face.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. I want to watch Pacific Rim and fast forward through the shitty parts.
That's what I always do. I'm like, they're loading up. Pause. Play.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises, I kind of do that too. I'll like fucking be like, I just want to see the Bane scenes.
Hurry up.
Yeah.
The last thing I watched was a 10-episode series called Halt and Catch Fire.
Okay.
It's an AMC series.
Hell yeah.
First season's on Netflix. It's hard to... It's like Jobs, the movie Jobs about Steve Jobs.
They're making a new one.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'll look it up. Keep going. It's called. I think it's called Steven Jobs. I know, right? It looks way better. Oh, fucking... what's his face is in it? Oh, god damn it. Seth... attacking me to make a porn. Rogan. There we go.
There you go. Same fucking time period as the Macintosh was being created.
Yeah.
Is the premise, is the timeline for the show. And it's about a electronics company in the 70s and 80s building the first portable PC.
Hell yeah.
It's, I mean, honestly, it's pretty sweet because it shows a lot of cool things about like creating software for a computer like that. And pretty much like a visionary guy comes in and tries to fucking help this ragtag electronics company create something on the lines that would like beat an IBM or an Apple.
Yeah.
And then there's a cool scene because that visionary dude walks into a hotel room at this conference and he looks in and everyone's just sort of like on their knees and stuff. And like, everyone's kind of, oh, and you see the fucking first Macintosh sitting there.
That's sick. Because
the Apple One and Apple Two had already come out, but the Macintosh, and it was like, it turns on and the guy's like, watch. And it's like, hello, I am Macintosh. What is your name? And he's just like,
why didn't we think of this?
It speaks.
Yeah.
That's what he says too. He's like, it speaks.
And that's a TV show?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. What's it called again?
Halt and Catch Fire.
Cool. That sounds sick.
Gnarly name.
I'm about to fucking blow your mind real quick. All right, so it's called Steve Jobs. Comes out in 2015.
Good.
October 9th. And we got... all right, who would you pick to play Steve Jobs? In a perfect world, you're like, what would your dream cast
Steve
be?
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be tall, kind of lanky.
Okay, yeah, you're naming two very...
kind of hippie.
Similar features. Okay, I mean...
he is a hippie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's also like a smelly geek dude. I mean, that's like how they portrayed him.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, honestly, his geek wasn't that powerful.
Right.
Not
like Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak, yeah.
Yeah, Woz was the real.
And who do you think is playing Steve?
I hope it'd be the other guy that played Steve in the Jobs movie. He did
Seth Rogen.
Oh, Seth Rogen plays...
Michael Fassbender is going to be... Yeah, isn't that fucking sick?
Perfect.
Joanna Hoffman, Kate Winslet.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Wow. Like, I was like, man, I just found a fucking... Jeff Daniels is in it. John Ortiz. Let's see. Yeah, that sounds pretty sick. And the previews for it look really cool, too.
I just watched an amazing preview for Ultra American.
Okay.
And it's got Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. Is that her name? Twilight Girl?
Yeah.
The
woman with one expression.
I want to say there's another actor in there. Oh, fuck. John Leguizamo.
Hell yeah.
Is the other main actor. But...
the clown from Spawn.
For all you people, he was in The Pest and The Clown from Spawn.
The Violator.
Wow. He could also be, you know, Tybalt, Prince of Cats from Romeo and Juliet.
And he was in The Happening. I'm sure a lot of people saw that.
Shut the... I have things in my mind I must...
Go ahead, go ahead.
Oh.
And we're back.
I'm so fucking delusional.
I know. I hit you with a clown from Spawn. You're like, you little fuck.
Ultra American.
Yeah.
Really fucking ambitious looking trailer for this film. Jesse Eisenberg plays like this stoner druggy kind of idiot store clerk. And he's dating this punk nerd Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
And he's just in the store, and this lady comes in and says, like, Alfa Romeo Tango, come to the sea, 1, 2, 3 with me. And he's like, what the fuck? Are you high? Like, joking. Like, he's like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
And she's like, what? Ah, damn it. And, like, walks away. Because she's looking for their sleeper agent that
had
left in that, like, area.
And that's, like, the fucking code word.
Yeah, and it fucking activates him, and he starts, like, killing people with a spoon in the parking lot on it. Like, guys are trying to steal his, like, tap his car and stuff.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, like, it shows, it's in the preview, I mean, but they're like, and then they killed 2 CIA operatives with a fucking spoon. <He's> like,
that's awesome.
Looks fucking hilarious. Rated R.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's always good to see rated R comedies. I hate it when they're like, well, PG-13. I'm like, great.
And I'm not a huge Jesse fan, but I think if they give him roles that are more experimental, he might up his game.
I enjoyed him in Now You See Me and Zombieland and Adventureland and anything else with land in it.
Wow. He's been in a lot of land.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be an awesome Lex Luthor.
I didn't care for much... Zombieland.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Zombieland, I was like, this is going to be sick. And I was
Him playing a Harvard dickhead makes sense.
Facebook one, yeah, he killed.
Yes.
And even Now You See Me, I thought that he did well. But he does kind of have, like, that fucking, like, one...
Yeah, he has a very...
Like, he's got, like one Sarah. Gear. Yeah, one gear. He's just like, okay, I'm in Jesse Eisenberg now.
Yeah, I've turned on and woke up.
Yeah.
So let's do what I do.
All right, you got anything else you want to hop into? Testa Tony.
Yeah, let's hop right on it.
Okay,
face
cool.
Face first.
We did a dual one, and why I wanted to do it was because the movies came out very close.
Yes.
We're doing Ants and A Bug's Life. Now, Ants came out 1998, October 2nd.
Yeah.
Bug's Life came out 1998, November 20th. Did you look up the box office and the budgets? I did.
All I know is that Bug's Life made a fuck ton.
Yeah, and Ants did
like
not.
Like 380 million, was
363 million. Okay, so the budget for Ants was 105 million.
Yeah.
Budget for Bug's Life was 120 million.
Yeah.
Domestic gross for Ants, 90.
Ooh. Ah.
Domestic gross for Bug's Life, 162. So they were up 42 million.
Yeah.
They were down 15 from Ants. But worldwide, Ants gross... 171 million, so it made its money back plus a ton.
Yeah.
But in the eyes of studios, I believe that is a fail. A flop, if you
probably.
Will. And worldwide, Bug's Life, 363 million. So yeah, it made quite a deal more.
That's
almost
a big
200
one.
Million more.
The guy who wrote Ants Life, I'm sorry, Bug's Life.
Wow.
Also wrote Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
He's
good.
He's I think he's an industry.
And that was
he wrote Cars,
and that
wrote
was a Disney
planes.
Movie.
What?
A Bug's Life was a Disney movie. Ants was DreamWorks, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt Ants was probably way more enjoyable for the adults that accompanied their kids, and the kids are probably bored as fuck because it's about pretty much committing genocide to an entire culture.
Oh, yeah, wiping out a...
They had a Hitler ant.
Yeah, the wiping out the people that were loyal to...
The queen.
To the like, what is that called? Like, more of the
The monarch?
The people's side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because...
The royalty side.
There's a ton of...
And then the militant side.
Right. There's the militant side that he's like, we can forge better. We can do better. I'll marry the queen's daughter. She'll be the next queen.
Yes,
and then we
to
can...
forge a stronger...
And he's like, and my super cum will fucking become good ants instead of these fucking lazy bullshit ants that are all like, oh, why do I have to do this? I didn't want to be a worker.
Yeah.
Fucking...
There was a lot of genocidal, like,
lazy
a line, workers.
A line from the movie, wipe away the scum. Pretty sure Hitler said that. In a bar in fucking Germany. Like, I mean, it's insane. I don't have many notes on it, but, the wipe away the scum, and I was like, damn, this movie's, like, completely about genocide. And it's very, like, monotone, because it's mostly shot inside of the anthill.
Yes.
Until you have him going out and, like, you know, fucking off. And the fucking war scene with the termites I thought was amazing. I remember seeing this as a kid. So it was 1998. I would have been 11. Saw it before a football game. And, I fucking loved it. They said, damn it. They said, bitchin'.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is like fucking like high tier animation for some reason. And the animation, I'm not going to lie. If you compare Ants to Bug's Life, Bug's Life looks fucking like it was made 4 years later.
Yeah, I watched them both. I was a bigger fan of Bug's Life growing up.
I didn't watch Bug's Life, but I did want to. I did watch Ants, though, again, because I do love Ants. I own a copy of a DVD.
Bug's Life is a little cutesy.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's very like, I found the circus bugs. They can help us.
And that's why but there's also a ton of bugs, too, though. Like, Ants is like, I don't even know who the fuck's talking.
Oh, no, it's all just one shape.
Yeah.
Everything's one color. One shape, yeah. Except for termites.
Right.
Or human feet.
The termites look so fucking cool. Yeah. It reminded me of the Creatures
they're
album.
They're 15 times our size and they spit acid from their heads.
Yeah.
He's
so
like,
sick.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Who's the main actor in that? Ants.
Oh, man.
Woody Allen. Woody Allen and Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone was the daughter, right?
I don't know. I know that Stallone is the his friend, the army ant that's his friend.
Yeah, Stallone.
He
yeah.
was my favorite character in
Stallone
it.
Stallone was great. I really enjoyed him.
He was
him.
Hilarious because he also just made friends with who he wanted to make friends with. He was sort of the person that bridged the gap.
Yeah, definitely. Sharon Stone was Princess Bala.
Oh, okay.
And there was actually a lot. Dan Aykroyd, Chip.
They went all out.
Danny Glover. He was Barbados. Was that his name? Barbados?
Barbados.
Barbados. And that's the fucking guy. He's like, can't feel my legs. And he's only a head.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman was the general.
Yeah.
Fucking Jennifer Lopez, Azteca, was one of the worker ants and shit. Yeah, it's pretty insane,
big
like the
names,
cast
yeah.
of it. And I want to check out Bugs Life because I did not.
They
should
have focused more on the, I don't know. The writing and animation?
I feel like it was, like, they were like, hey, we got this really cool script that's about ants, but it has to do a lot with, like, shit that's actually happened in culture.
Yeah, but I don't know if, like, if Woody Allen was like, oh, I really want a kids movie that talks about, like, the tragedies of war and, like, Holocaust?
Yeah.
But I have no idea what kind of message they were trying to send, because looking at it now, I'm like, it looks like shit, so Jake would be bored by that, my nephew.
Yeah.
And it also has a really mature message that's really not that visceral.
No.
In any way. Uh-uh. Like line dancing and crap like that.
Well, no, it's
kind of
like, yeah.
Talking.
It was a lot of, you can be your own thing. You don't have to follow the norm. It was kind of like a shitty version of the Lego movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, be yourself. And,
yeah, because the Lego movie had that nailed down to a fucking science. That movie is incredible.
Oh, no, it's work of art, yeah. It's
yeah,
perfect.
Like, you watch it and you're like, this is one of the best movies I've seen in a long time, and it's a fucking kids movie, but a fantastic message. And, like, the overtones of it were great. Anyways, all right, so Bugs Life. Dave Foley played the main character. Kevin Spacey, I believe he was the antagonist. Julie Louise Dreyfus. Hayden Panettiere. And
who? Panettiere?
Yeah, Hayden.
Panettiere?
Panettiere? Is that? I thought it was Panettiere. My bad.
It's a French name.
Oh, yeah. Panettiere. David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary.
But you don't see that cast getting quite as much as Julie Louise Dreyfus and Woody Allen and Stallone.
Julie Louise Dreyfus was in Bug's Life. Sharon Stone was in.
Oh, Sharon Stone. Yeah. Well, Sharon Stone was probably asking for as much as Julia.
Yeah, I mean, maybe less.
She was probably mopey because Basic Instinct was a little dated.
Yeah.
She needed it.
I'm sure it was a paycheck. I'm sure she did it for the money.
Do they make anything residual on that stuff? Like, if I went and bought A Bug's Life from, like,
it depends
Best
on the
Buy?
Deal that they sign for. Yeah. Like, if they're, like,
I don't
on
know
the
what kind of deals they make. Like,
if they're on the back end and shit like that, like, I believe Iron Man was the last one. Well, it was the first Disney movie. And when it came out, like, he had a sick fucking deal. And it's called, like, the Robert Downey Jr. deal, and that doesn't happen to anybody anymore.
Oh, because he got so much on
the
back
end. He gets a
back end,
yeah. And shit, like, he did a good job on that. It's kind of like when Star Wars came out, they're like, hey, do you guys want to get, like, a back end of the cut? Do you want, like, merchandising? And, like, now they don't put you in the merchandising stuff. They're like, no, we make way too much money off that.
No, you're crazy.
Yeah, I know it's your face and you're acting and you're the reason why people are buying it, but we want that money.
We'll give you a big check up front. Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's understandable. That's kind of like when you do art for someone and they put it on a CD and then they sell a shitload of CDs and you're like, man, I gave them $100.
Yeah.
And they've made fucking a ton off it. Not saying that your artwork was the only thing, but still, even like the recording producer and shit like that. Anyways. So yeah, how do you feel about Ants? So you liked Ants more?
I think I enjoyed Ants a little more now.
Yeah.
Bug's Life was, like you said, it looked better.
Yeah,
He had creative machinery. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that he was an inventor.
He's a tinkerer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. He reminded me of me.
Yeah, you were a tinkerer.
But that being said, it was just a corny, boring kids mess.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I have recommendations for my test of Tony next week.
Okay, we'll get to that.
And I was like, hey, you're not going to throw any random, hey, do that.
Yeah, do fucking Bambi. See how that holds up.
Do Bambi versus... Oh, Lion King would be fun, so I don't think that's
fair. We should do Lion King. That would be really cool, but we'll go through yours and see what we have. But I think Lion King would be awesome to revisit, because I know it's going to be Little Kitty and stuff like that.
Oh, I know I have one.
And I want to take it from the eyes of an adult now, instead of being like the nostalgia, because I know I'll hit a lot of nostalgia from it.
Well, that's when you start seeing those underlying things as adults. You're like, oh, this is a fucked up movie.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of underlying themes here.
And I mean, Ants, like, I was sitting in my bed watching it last night, and I was like, damn, this is like really fucking heavy. Yeah. Like, they were literally, he's going to drown all of his people. And yeah, they're all brothers and sisters. They come from the same fucking vagina or whatever ants have.
Yeah, that.
And like, he's going to kill all of his brothers and sisters just so he can feel like he has a more superior race.
Race, yeah.
Which is fucking Hitler. Oh, God, it just blew my mind.
Crazy.
All right, let's hop into the in-depth. We did Mystic River. This was your doing, and thank you.
2003.
Fantastic film.
Budget,
$25 million, domestic, $90 million, worldwide, $156 million. Fucking all around, did really well.
All around well. Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Tim Robbins and Sean Penn both won Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor that year for this movie.
Sean Penn, when he finds out that his daughter dies.
Yeah.
That was a choice.
He had to have oxygen standing by.
I bet.
On set. Looks
like he's about to have a fucking heart attack. I was like, man, dude, okay. Like, I get it. Like, you're like, oh, my daughter. But he's like, blah, blah. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Dude, that's hard.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It seems
you've never loved anything that much, man.
Yeah, I guess not. Because probably I've never.
I can't think of that. Like,
I've never had a daughter or a son for that matter. Yeah. I've had dogs.
I don't think, you would have charged through cops and screamed and fell on
is
the ground.
Is that my dog?
You tell me, is that my dog?
Is that my dog in that thing? You tell me that's my dog. As I'm fighting fucking 20, what was it at the Brooklyn?
It was Boston.
Boston, my bad. Yeah.
And they filmed it in Boston.
Yeah.
Against,
they all had cool accents. I dig the Boston accent.
Yeah, the director was like, or the producers were like, no, we can go to Toronto. It's cheaper. And
yeah,
Clint Eastwood was like, no.
They probably have a better like film tax thing there.
Yeah, and he was like, no. We'll put more towards the budget for the filming.
And not only that, $25 million. That's fucking
Boston,
pennies.
Boston.
That's fucking pennies comparatively to like what they spend on movies now. And
filmed
it
in 40 days.
And it made $90 million domestic. Like, I mean, that's insane. That's almost four times what the budget was. To me, that sounds like a complete and utter success. So, yeah, I think that Clint Eastwood did it. And was this his first directing or no?
No, he had directed in the past. This, I think, is the first, might have been one of the first ones that were really
renowned,
shined upon.
Now, I felt like the movement of the camera was a bit boring, I'm not going to lie. It didn't have like a lot of cuts and stuff like that, which was cool. It felt more like playish, but it also felt cinematic in a way. There was a lot of symmetry, I noticed.
Yes.
Ton of symmetry, like, fucking, you remember that sidewalk? Remember that car that was over there? Remember that dude that was standing there? That type of stuff, and even like the ending, didn't it begin with like it over the water, then panning up to the city, and then it panned up to the city, and then back down to the water? I was like, okay, like literally, like you're opening and closing a fucking book. I get it.
It's written. It's from a book too.
Yeah, I know. Gino told me about it. He said that he read it. Me and him watched it today, and there's the part when Dave, right? Yeah. That was the kid that gets abducted at the beginning of the movie. It's literally in the first 3 minutes. And they're writing their names in the sidewalk, and this, like, what looks to be a cop, he has handcuffs. That's really all you see. And they said a golden badge. I didn't catch the golden badge.
It's there.
Okay. And, like, he's like, get in the fucking car.
Yeah.
And then he's like, get in the fucking car. And then when he remembers it, he just says, get in the car. I thought that was weird. But then Gino was like, oh, well, maybe they're trying to say, like, he's...
No, he says, get in the car, and then he doesn't move, and he says, get in the fucking car.
Yeah,
he hits the, when he hits the...
Yeah.
So there are two times when he says get in the car and get
right
in the
car.
That
makes more sense then. That was really my only qualm with the movie.
Because I just watched it too.
Yeah, I watched it today. Yeah.
I'd seen it a few times, so.
Really good.
I know it. Tim Robbins kills me in this movie.
Yeah.
Such a sad dude. Like, misunderstood, confused.
Oh, yeah.
Depressive.
He was in the Hutch Sucker property or some shit. Do you remember that movie? I'll look it up.
Nope. He was also in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, he was a sucker, goddammit.
Sucker Punch? Honeysuckle?
No. It's a... Oh, man. It's like the something...
Your brain is kind of like ping-pong-pong-ping-ping-pong.
It is very... Go ahead, but you can talk about the movie. I'll look it up.
I just really like his character, and I really like what he...
The Hutsucker proxy. It's about...
He thinks that if he just, like, plays along with certain people... that things will go all right for him. And it's really sad.
Now, my viewing of the movie, coming in with fresh eyes. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, well, he obviously killed her.
Yeah.
Like, he went insane and fucking murdered her.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And then that twist at the end, I was like, holy shit. Now I heard the book. They show what he did. Like, in the beginning pages, they tell you what he did.
Oh.
So the whole time, you're like, fuck no, he did not do it. Like, please do not kill this dude. Like, you know, as an audience member.
Okay,
think that's a really cool thing. But I also understand that they wanted it to be like, fucking M. Night Shyamalan, motherfucker! You know?
That's how you get... Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's only a few movies that can pull off, like American Beauty. Like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, you know that. Like, this is the last day of my life or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I do think that it could have worked both ways. I think it might have been more powerful had they done it the other way. I understand that they did it that way because they wanted people to be like, holy fuck. But I think it would have been way more suspenseful had you known right off the bat, like, no shit. Like, I wish I could get into the fucking movie and be like, no, he didn't. Yeah. I think that's more compelling for the viewer.
There's a really, like, sad line when Sean Penn says, it doesn't give anything away if you haven't seen it.
I mean, but I kind of just gave a lot away.
Yeah, you really did. You pulled a Tony.
My bad.
It happens.
We'll stop calling it spoilers. We'll call it Tonys.
Yeah, we're going to do some Tonys today. When he's talking to Kevin Bacon, and he's like, good job. You guys did your job. You just didn't do it fast enough.
That, yeah.
I was like, and then Kevin Bacon's like, what the fuck did you do?
But it was weird, because then, like, they go on to be like, well, I mean, we're going to hang out, and then he, like, points the gun at him, and it's like, credits, like, I'm coming
for
you.
Well, it's almost like, I couldn't prove what you did in the past, probably can't prove this one, no one will say shit to me, and I don't have a body or anything to prove anything, so it's pretty much just, like, live knowing what you did, but you have to prove that being a cop. He can't just... pull him in and be like, I think he killed him. Why?
Well, he did confess to me, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That kind of bugged me. But it was cool.
That's like a... You could be like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I never said that.
Right, yeah, definitely.
Prove it.
Circumstantial, yeah.
Yeah.
Or hearsay, rather.
When you give a testimony and then you recant it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean it.
They're like, okay, shrug it.
Now prove it. Yeah, now prove it.
Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where they stood with each other, was like, well, I kind of know what you're doing, and you're like, so what? Mystic River is it's a really solemn movie.
Definitely.
Yeah, really solemn movie. And I think I've been giving you a lot of solemn films lately.
Fuck yeah. I mean, City of God.
City of God, at least it had an energy, too.
Incredible.
It did have an energy.
Gone Baby Gone was depressing as fuck. Maybe question my moral ground.
Now, I was going to say, you've seen Running Scared. Have you?
I don't know. Let me check it out. I don't think so.
It's got Paul Walker.
No, I've heard this movie like be talked up a lot. I think you've talked it up a lot.
The only Paul Walker film that I don't want to puke on him while he's on the screen.
Not a big fan of Fast and the Furious.
No,
huh?
I'm not a Fast or Furious guy.
What about Joyride?
I'm not joyous either.
I don't know. You're pretty fast.
What else is there? Nothing else. He's never been in it. I mean,
wasn't he in like, he's in some fucking like, hold on a second. The Skulls. She's All That, Varsity Blues, Pleasantville. You like Pleasantville?
I do. He plays one of the jockey people.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's see. Timeline, Noel, Into the Blue, I heard was really good. Into the Blue, you ever heard of it?
What? Into the Blue about the surfers?
Oh, then it wasn't good.
No.
You're right. 8 Below, Takers.
Stop. It hurts my ears.
All right, go ahead. God, I'm so hot.
Running Scared, the bad guy, well, not bad guy, one of the characters that is sort of...
Are you sweaty right now?
No, I'm good.
I'm sweating my dick
off. I'm thinking, dude. My brain started now.
Yeah, I must have burned a lot of calories trying to think of fucking Paul
Walker
movies.
Yeah, pulls the sweat away from my balls and puts it into my brain.
I'm sitting in fucking balls juice right
just,
now. Good.
Just, you know the guy who plays Rasputin in Hellboy?
Yes.
He's one of the principal actors in Running Scared.
Hell yeah.
Along with Vera Farmiga.
Okay.
Who,
She
was in Departed.
Yep.
Plays therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She's good.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole movie, oh man, so many gnarly people. I was going to throw that up for the next, and it's action. It is a raw, sick fucking
movie. Yeah, we can totally do Running Scared. I'm down for that.
Guess what I want to do for Tessa Tony.
Also, Mystic River, check that out. It was a really good movie. I did want to end to kind of cap that off. But for the next in-depth Running Scared, I'm totally down with, and
fuck
Tessa Tony.
I was thinking either you pick. Don't say both, because they're both so awesome. But
Deep
I
impact.
Might not like them. Oh, close. Versus Armageddon. Twister or Neverending Story?
Ooh, I feel like...
Because I think you would want to watch both those.
Yeah, let's do Twister. I'm down for Twister.
Twister, yeah, because I feel Running like we Scared.
Can find a lot of dumb shit with Twister.
Dude, this is going to be the most action-packed week. It's going to be sweet. You're going to be happy.
And then, I know we normally don't decide Genre 5, but instead of waiting until the last minute, what are you thinking for the next Genre 5?
RPGs.
Oh, you want to do video games?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do...
Well, do you think you would have...
I don't know if I have enough.
Well, you got Skyrim.
Yeah, that's one.
Okay.
We just... All right, we can I'm just go saying, through my, no, we'll go I'm through just my saying, list off air.
If you can think of four more like that within the next few seconds, you can say yes to RPGs. or if that's like your gem.
No, hold on. All right, I got two right now.
Okay. Look through the list. I think it's a big
and if
list.
Not, who knows? Yeah.
But and there's action RPGs.
We might not do that, but we might. All right, so
wow,
we got fucking Test of Tony's going to be Twister, and the end of it's going to be Running Scared.
Oh fuck yes!
Until next time, go burn books.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.